My message today is entitled Prepare for the Work. I'd like to start off by reading two passages of Scripture. First is in Matthew 25, verses 1 through 13, which says, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps, and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of our oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage. And the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Master, Master, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. And the second passage is Revelation 1, verses 5 through 6. And from Yahshua the Messiah, who is a faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto Elohim and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." It says here that we're supposed to be kings and priests in the kingdom. And I think this is also other tasks as well. But it takes preparation. In the Matthew 25, it talks about how the wise virgins were the ones who prepared. They had the oil that they had taken. But the foolish virgins were the opposite. They did not prepare. And because they weren't prepared, they had to ask for some oil. And because of that, they were left out, whereas the wise virgins were led into the marriage feast. Preparation is a huge key to success in this life, to success in the next life. And so I'd like to discuss how we can be prepared and what we may need to do to get there. And I'd like to talk about the story of Joseph and some of the lessons we can glean from his life. If anybody knew something about preparation, it was this man. To give you a little history about him, he was one of 12 sons to Jacob. Jacob was the son of Isaac, who was the son of Abraham. He was favored by his father, Jacob. It says that in Genesis 37, verse 3. And this is probably because he was the son of his old age. And he was also Rachel's first son. Rachel was his most loved wife, the one he loved first. So I'm sure there was the same. That was one of the reasons why he loved him most. Because of this, Joseph got a coat of many colors. And because of this, he got a little more favoritism, it seemed, than his brothers. Because of this, it caused dissension among his other brethren. It says in Genesis 37, verse 4, that when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. So they didn't have anything nice to say to poor Joseph. He wasn't really doing anything wrong. His father liked him a little bit more. He wasn't doing anything bad, but they had nothing nice to say to him. It makes things even worse. Joseph started having dreams, and for some reason thought it would be wise to share it with his brothers. And these dreams involved sheaves of wheat bowing down to him, and sun, moon, and stars bowing down to him as well. Well, his brothers didn't like it, for obvious reasons. He was one of the youngest, so they didn't like him bowing down to him. So it caused a lot of dissension among the family. Well, one day, Jacob sent Joseph to Shechem to take a look at what was going on with his brothers. Because in verse 1 of that same chapter, Joseph gave an evil report of his brethren. So Jacob was probably checking in on his sons to make sure they're actually working. His brothers weren't in Shechem, so Joseph found they went to Dothan, so he went there. And as he was going to Dothan, his brothers saw him from afar. And, they're just so disgusted with their brother. They had this terrible idea of wanting to kill him. Thankfully, Reuben had some sense in the group and suggested of throwing him in a pit and just taking his coat. I guess this was his way of just showing him a lesson. A lot better than killing him, but not the best solution. Whenever Reuben decided to go somewhere, I'm not sure, didn't say why, but he left for a little bit. And while he was gone, a company of Ishmaelites that were going to Egypt were passing by, and they saw an opportunity. They were like, well, we're not going to make any money by killing him. We might as well sell him into slavery to these Egyptians and make some sweet money off of him. So Joseph was free. If you think about like his day, how the day progressed. Beginning of the day, he was free. He was living in his father's tents. Everything was great and stuff like that. He was asked to go and check on his brothers. Now he's sold into slavery. So if you think you've had a bad day, just think about poor Joseph. He was 17 years old when this happened. Now, imagine whenever you were 17 years old, or if you're not 17 years old, imagine what it would be like when you are 17 years old. Your family hates you. Now, I'm sure whenever you're a teenager, you think this anyways. but your family really actually hates you. And your brother and your siblings have sold you into slavery. You know, it talks about in the passage that Joseph was pleading for mercy. It's just, you know, it's hard to think of like your siblings just doing this to you and Joseph begging for his life, begging for mercy. It must have been a very crushing betrayal for poor Joseph to have to deal with this. So he was sold to Potiphar, who was officer of Pharaoh and also a captain of the guard. But something wonderful happened despite all this. In Genesis 39, verse 2, it says, "And Yahweh was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian." So despite all this, Yahweh was with Joseph. It must have been a very scary time for Joseph to have left everything he knew, all the comforts of his home, and to be put in a strange place and to have to be enslaved to someone. But through all this, Yahweh did not leave him. How did Yahweh prosper him during this time? In verses 3 through 6, it says, "And his master saw that Yahweh was with him, and that Yahweh made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him. And he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had to put into his hand. And it came to pass that the time that he had made him overseer in his house, and over all that he had, that Yahweh blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of Yahweh was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well-favored." So with success, a lot of times is followed by great adversity. And that great adversity came in the form of Potiphar's wife. She, for some reason, constantly was trying to seduce Joseph. He must have been a very good-looking guy for this. Of course, I also think she was a really terrible woman. Joseph, to his great credit, refused every time. You know, he could have thought to himself, "Well, I'm a slave. I got to listen to whatever my mistress tells me, so I can do this. This is fine." But he didn't do that. He stuck to what was right, and he continued in it. He actually got to the point where one time, and this was the last time where this happened, he had to leave his garment and had to flee from her just to get out of her presence. Well, she didn't like this, so she cooked up a story claiming that Joseph was the one that was trying to seduce her. Convenient. Potiphar, obviously, for some reason, believed her. I don't really know why he believed her. He either didn't know what was going on in his house, or, I don't know, because you would think that these seductions that she was doing from time to time would have gotten back to him. But regardless of the case, Joseph was punished. And because of this, he threw him in the king's prison. So things were going well for Joseph, if you can consider being sold into slavery, good. But now he's got even more freedoms removed. He was a slave then, now he's thrown in prison. But despite this, Yahweh was still with him. In Genesis 39, verses 21 to 23, it says, let me get my papers out of here. "But Yahweh was with Joseph, and showed him mercy, and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to say anything that was under his hand, because Yahweh was with him, and that which he did, Yahweh made it to prosper." So Joseph is prospering again. He went from being a prisoner to now to having to watch over the prisoner. So he must have been a very trustworthy person in all these situations he's given this authority. So fast forward a little bit. He's in the king's prison, watching over prisoners, and Pharaoh's butler and baker upset the Pharaoh, and they're thrown into the king's prison. Joseph is put in charge of them from the ward, And I think it says a cycle or so in his, them being there. It says that they dream strange dreams. Joseph asked about this, saw that they're upset. And the details of this are in Genesis 40, verses 9 through 19. I'm not going to go through the details just for time's sake. But Joseph gave the interpretation through Yahweh's power. And it was an interpretation of future events to come. The baker was to lose his head in 3 days. But the butler said, the baker was to lose his head in 3 days, and the butler was to regain his butlership. Joseph asked the butler to remember him and to appeal to Pharaoh. You know, he saw an opportunity for him to be able to get out of prison. He didn't like being where he was at, obviously. So he asked him to, you know, tell Pharaoh about his cause and to appeal to him. But the butler forgot. And so Joseph was stuck in prison for 2 more years. So it must have been very discouraging for Joseph to see this opportunity and then to have it crushed again and to still remain in the same situation. And you think through all this, Joseph did nothing through all of this. He committed no sin. In fact, everything he did right. Every time he did something right, it seemed like he just got struck down more and more. And then after 2 years, Pharaoh had some disturbing dreams too. And that's in Genesis 41, verses 2 through 8. The wise men couldn't interpret his dream, but the butler remembered that Joseph was able to interpret dreams for him. So the Pharaoh immediately called Joseph, and Joseph again interpreted the dreams for him through Yahweh's power of future events. And he showed that there were going to be 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. And Joseph, thankfully, had a solution in Genesis 41, verses 33 to 36, where it says, "Now therefore let Pharaoh look out a man, discreet and wise, and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this. And let him appoint officers over the land, and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the 7 plenteous years, and let them gather all the food of those good years that come, and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities, and that food should be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine." Pharaoh liked the idea. He thought it was a wise thing to do. So he put Joseph in command. Actually, he put him second in command, one step below him. So Joseph went from being 17 years old, being sold into slavery, 13 years, and now he is second in command only to Pharaoh. You talk about a Sidney Algers type story of just going from, like, you know, the bottom to the top. This is it. But he had 13 years of not knowing what was going to happen. You know, during that time, I don't see anywhere where Yahweh said specifically that he was going to get out. If he did, obviously he wouldn't have appealed to the Pharaoh. If he would have known that within that 13 years he would have gotten out. He had no way of knowing that this was going to happen. But he still used those 13 years for preparation. He used them wisely instead of just wasting them. So 7 years of plenty went by, and then come the 7 years of famine, and the famine became so great, not just in Egypt, that it was also affecting other areas outside of Egypt. So Jacob, we go back to Jacob and all of his family. They kind of didn't really talk about Jacob and his family for a while. We go to Jacob and his family, and they're being affected by it too. So Jacob sends his sons, except for Benjamin, to go to Egypt to go gather some food so they can survive. The account is in Genesis 42 to 44, but Joseph saw his brothers, and this must have been really interesting for him to see his brothers after all those years and just all these emotions and stuff going on inside of him. He recognized them, but he didn't reveal himself to them. And instead, he tests them, and I think a lot of the testing was to see where their hearts were at, because obviously they sold their brother into slavery. And he wanted to see what kind of people they were. Later, he revealed himself as Joseph, and they had a nice reunion among themselves. His brothers were comforted because of this. I think they had some remorse because of what they did. You know, every time you think, anytime they see something bad happening, it always reverts in the passage of them thinking about what they did to their brother. So I think throughout these 13 years, they were torturing themselves over what they had done. And they realized they had done wrong. And they thought every problem that went wrong in their lives was attributed to this one act. So they were comforted that their brother was still alive, despite what they had done. But then after Jacob had died, they feared Joseph's wrath. And, you know, rightfully so, they may have thought that maybe he hadn't forgiven them. And, you know, second in command, he can do whatever he wants, to snap a finger, and they're wiped out. Genesis 50, verses 15 through 17, it says, "And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, 'Joseph will peradventure hate us, and will certainly requite us of all the evil which we did unto him.' And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, 'Thy father did command before he died, saying, So shall ye say unto Joseph, Forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren, and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the Elohim of thy father.' And Joseph wept when they spake unto him." I didn't find anywhere in Scripture where it said that Joseph actually said this. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. But I think Joseph's brothers were probably getting a little desperate. They wanted to ensure that they weren't going to be destroyed. But this is how Joseph responds. And this is wonderful how he responded. "And his brother also went and fell down before his face, and they said, 'Behold, we be thy servants.' And Joseph said unto them, 'Fear not, for am I in the place of Elohim? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but Elohim meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones.' And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them." Why did he have to suffer? He had to suffer, and he also endured to prepare for this work. He realized that it was for a greater purpose. He didn't let that bother him. He realized that it was something Yahweh had him to do, to save many people and to do a great work. So I'd like to turn this back on ourselves after we've gone through Joseph's life and see how we can apply this to ourselves. Because Yahweh has planned for us being kings and priests and other functions. So I'd like to see how what we can learn from Joseph to also prepare for that work. Number one, sometimes the things we do in this life are stepping stones to prepare us for greater things. Yahshua said in Luke 16, verse 10, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much." Don't look at any problem in your life as trivial or somehow unimportant. Waiting at the doctor's office can teach you patience. Cleaning up a child's vomit can teach you a servant attitude. Yahweh uses these experiences to teach us things. Think about your own life. What challenges? Now, I know everyone's dealing with challenges because that's life. What challenges are you experiencing? What trial are you going through right now? Yahweh could be using that as a teaching lesson for something greater, something beyond what you're doing. Joseph couldn't have been second in command without him being sent to the king's prison. Joseph couldn't have been in the king's prison without him being falsely accused. Joseph couldn't have been in Potiphar's house to be accused if he wouldn't have been sold into slavery. Now, this isn't if you get into bad things, this is okay because it'll all work out. I'm saying that sometimes there's a bigger plan, a bigger thing going on than what you think. Everything builds upon itself, and sometimes these stepping stones are for something greater in life. Number two, don't let your circumstances turn you from Yahweh. It was really unfair what happened to Joseph. It was unfair that his brothers despised him. It was unfair that he was sold into slavery. It was unfair that he was accused of crimes, and it was unfair that some of the good that he did was unnoticed. But that's looking at things on the earthly level, on the earthly plane of things. Yahweh had a plan, and Joseph trusted that plan despite everything that happened. We have to look at things from the heavenly spectrum too. We have to trust in Yahweh despite all these things. We have to realize that he does have a plan. Even though we may not realize it, he does have a plan for each one of us. We just have to stay the course. Number three, don't let your environment change you. Joseph's environment was what? He was a slave and then he was a prisoner. Sometimes how we view ourselves in society or how society views us changes our perspective of who we are. A book by Malcolm Gladwell called Tipping Point. And in pages 152 to 155, he talks about a study done by scientists in the Stanford University in the early 1970s. What they did is they built a mock prison. And they volunteered, they asked for some volunteers. I think they put an ad in the newspaper for some volunteers to be pretend prisoners and to be pretend guards. Well, they had to stop the experiment after 6 days because the people started to think that they were these things. The guards, who used to be very passive and very nonviolent, were attacking the prisoners just to keep them in place. They were spraying water at them and just doing a lot of like really aggressive things and got into the role. The prisoners were causing riots, and some of them felt like they were losing themselves in this role. Sometimes our environment really can influence who we are. But we have to remember that there are more important things that are leading on to the kingdom. We have to act now like we are going to be doing those things in the future, like we are kings and we are priests. We have to realize that that's who we're going to be, so we need to act like that's who we are. Don't let the world tell you different of who you are. Don't let them think that this is all there is in this life. Don't let the world change you into something different than what Yahweh wants you to be. Yahweh has something great planned for each one of us. Number 4, Yahweh is with us during this journey. In Philippians 2, verses 12 to 13, it says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is the Elohim which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." So the first part is we have to do our part. But the second part in verse 13 is that Yahweh is also working with us during this. Yahweh wants us to be in this kingdom. And he has sent his very capable son to help us during this. We're not alone during our journey of life. He is here to help us, and we have to rely upon his strength during all of this. Number 5, going into the last lesson, we have to continue to trust in Yahweh. Yahweh was with Joseph, but if Joseph had fully rejected Yahweh, I don't think Yahweh would have been with him. It says that Joseph was goodly. And we have to act the same way. We have to take those goodly attributes upon ourselves. We have to trust in Yahweh, and we have to believe that it will work for good. Number 6, don't become bitter if things don't work out the way you like them. You know, Joseph could have gotten bitter really, really easily with all the things that happened to him. He was faced with problem after problem, but instead of just focusing on those problems, he just went forward. Bitterness is a poison that can destroy us. Think of, I don't know if anyone's ever read or listened or watched the movie The Count of Monte Cristo, but it reminds me of the injustice done to poor Edmond Dantes when he went from a kind man to one that was in prison and became one full of wrath and vengeance. Joseph was not like this, though. We have to take on that same spirit that he had, not become bitter, and not let the problems that happen in our life change us for revenge or vengeance and just become terrible people. Number 7, temptations will come during our journey to sway us from the path. Potiphar's wife was an example on this. What is it for you? What temptation is Satan trying to put in your life to turn you from the path? It really isn't worth it. If you think about the long term, you know, the kingdom of Yahweh lasts a lot longer than the time we have in this earth. We need to focus on the things that are going to last. It's only going to lead us from Yahweh, so we need to cling to that which is good and focus our mind only on those good things. Number 8, be consistent in your principles. I'm sure Joseph got frustrated from time to time, but every time the major decisions came for him to do things, he was consistent in all those decisions. He did the right thing each time when the big moment came. Joseph was obedient to his earthly father whenever he called him. You know, Jacob asked him to go check on his brothers, and he said, "Here I am. I'll do it for you." And he was also obedient to his heavenly father. Sticking to the right principles is what helped him succeed in life. But it takes focus on our part. We have to take our focus off of the bad things in this world. We need to focus on things that are right, focus on things that are good, and focus on things that are just, and then to act correctly when that time comes. In Romans 8, verse 28, it says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love Elohim, to them who are called according to his purpose." If we believe this, and I hope that every one of us does, then the trials and the successes that we have in this life are going to be for a greater purpose. Some success may come in this life. You know, this life isn't all full of terrible things. But it's only going to come to fruition in the next life. All of these things are going to accumulate into something better. remember Joseph whenever we're faced with challenges. Anytime you have some sort of problem, think about Joseph and how he dealt with it, and the problems he had, and how we can do it as well. Don't give up the fight. It really is worth it. Keep on going. Keep working. Keep trusting in Yahweh. And keep focusing on the calling that each one of us has been given. May Yahweh bless.